Have you thanked your partners in your Christian work lately? Would you like some new ideas on how you can do this? Well, we're going to talk about that next here on Men Care by Radio. Welcome to another edition of Men Care by Radio. I'm Scott Hollinger. I ran across an article from Dr. Ken Williams, and I thought it was so good that I wanted to share it with you. In our kind of work, each of us has partners, whether they are prayer partners or financial partners of our work. But Dr. Ken writes, many of us have been taught that our relationship with our partners means that we receive money and prayer support, and they, as partners, receive information and, well, that's about it. So our goal is to find churches and people who will give to us as to the Lord, expecting very little in return. Dr. Ken relates something that he discovered while translating the book of Philippians for a people group in Guatemala. He discovered that the Apostle Paul was writing a letter to people who were partners with him in serving God. It was a partnership of giving and receiving, in which each was giving and receiving to each other. As we hear this, there are some aspects of our relationship with our own partners that we should give consideration to. What are we giving to those who support us besides information? According to Dr. Ken, as he pondered his relationship with his own partners, it became clear that it was not a true partnership. Partnerships are mutual, aren't they? Well, according to Dr. Ken, he had been doing almost all of the receiving and had been giving very little back. Does that sound like your relationship, perhaps with your partners? I know, unfortunately, that it has been like that with mine in the past. These considerations began a journey for Ken Williams, which eventually brought to him a fresh new view regarding the partnership that he had with those who supported him, a paradigm shift from traditional thought. As I share what Ken learned, please consider it with an open heart. To learn what the Lord might have for you, you may have already adopted this approach. If not, you don't have to agree with everything. Take what is helpful, and then just leave the rest. Okay, well, today we're going to look at the biblical example of partnership in Christian work, and then on our next time together, we'll look at some ways to stay in touch. Philippians was Paul's letter to a church in partnership with him. Here are a dozen principles Paul used in his letter, which we can use also. I would urge you to make these part of your relationship with your partner. Here's the first one. Paul expressed his gratitude to them. Philippians 1, verses 3 through 5 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul specifically mentioned their gifts, both past and present. The second one, Paul was in partnership with them, and he let them know it. In Philippians 4:15, he says, my friends at Philippi, you remember what it was like when I started preaching the good news in Macedonia. After I left there, you were the only church that became my partner by giving blessings and by receiving them in return. That partnership was mutual, wasn't it? Both were giving and receiving. Number three, he reminded them of how God looked on their part and that he would reward them. Verses 17 through 19 of chapter 4. I'm not trying to get something from you, but I want you to receive the blessings that come from giving. I have been paid back everything and with interest. I am completely satisfied with the gifts that you had Epaphroditus bring me. They are like a sweet-smelling offering, or like the right kind of sacrifice that pleases God. I pray that God will take care of all your needs with the wonderful blessings that come from Christ Jesus. In this, Paul is telling us that partners need to hear often how precious their part is in God's eyes. Number four, he communicated his joy in his service and his situation. In chapter 1, verse 18, he writes, but that doesn't matter. All that matters is that people are telling about Christ, whether they are sincere or not. That is what makes me glad. I will keep on being glad. The fifth one, Paul expressed his love and affection for his partners. Dear friends, I love you and long to see you. Please keep on being faithful to the Lord. You are my pride and joy. That's from Philippians 4, verse 1. For many partners, it is quite possible that you may be the only person who tells them that you love them and long to see them. Number six, He thanked God for them, and he told them so. In chapter 1, verse 7, Paul said, "You have a special place in my heart, so it is only natural for me to feel the way I do. All of you have helped in the work that God has given me, as I defend the good news and tell about it here in jail." So the question is, do you faithfully thank the Lord for each of those who support you, and then do you let them know it? Well, here's number 7. Paul prayed for them and let them know that he was praying. In chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, Paul wrote, "I pray that your love will keep on growing and that you will fully know and understand how to make the right choices. Then you will still be pure and innocent when Christ returns. And until that day, Jesus Christ will keep you busy doing good deeds that bring glory and praise to God." You may be the only person who prays regularly for many of your partners. That's something to think about. Here's the 8th one. Paul talked about the relevance of his ministry. And we're going to go to chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Paul writes, "My dear friends, I want you to know that what has happened to me has helped to spread the good news. The Roman guards and all the others know that I am here in jail because I serve Christ." Well, that's certainly relevant, isn't it? Here's number 9. Paul reported on his work and circumstances and how he felt about these. We can read in chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, when Paul said, "I honestly expect and hope that I will never do anything to be ashamed of. Whether I live or die, I always want to be as brave as I am now and bring honor to Christ. If I live, it will be for Christ. And if I die, I will gain even more." And here's number 10. Paul shared very personally about his growth, his struggles, his victories, his goals, and his walk with the Lord. He was very honest about everything. Here's an example from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. "I have not yet reached my goal, and I am not perfect, but Christ has taken hold of me. So I keep on running and struggling to take hold of the prize. My friends, I don't feel that I have already arrived, but I forget what is behind, and I struggle for what is ahead. I run toward the goal so that I can win the prize of being called to heaven. This is the prize that God offers because of what Christ Jesus has done." You see, the Apostle Paul certainly didn't try to put on a facade of being a perfect Christian worker. The 11th one, Paul exhorted, he taught, he encouraged, and he was a blessing to his partner church in Philippi. And the 12th one, he focused on Jesus and encouraged his partner church to do the same. We read in chapter 2, verses 6 through 11 of Philippians, "Christ was truly God, but he did not try to remain equal with God. Instead, he gave up everything and became a slave when he became like one of us. Christ was humble. He obeyed God and even died on a cross. Then God gave Christ the highest place and honored his name above all others. So at the name of Jesus, everyone will bow down, those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And to the glory of God the Father, everyone will openly agree Jesus Christ is Lord." And what a way to share with a partner church. As you apply these principles, I think that you'll begin to see that a very real purpose of relating to your partners is to have a ministry in their lives, a ministry of encouragement, prayer, exhortation, and teaching, motivated by gratitude to God and to them.